Wouldn't the better than everybody carrying a gun?
From Biden.
So the question was asked about
one such shooting. You can
very careful
about what Jewish view is on gun control and on carrying guns. So obviously, you'll ask different rabbis, you'll get different opinions to a certain degree. There are a few points which I think have to be recognized. That you have a person that's in a situation of danger, so you have a response in the Gros Moshe of Moshe Feinstein writes about women who live in certain areas where it's dangerous them to travel without a gun, so it's permissible for a woman to carry a gun, for a man to carry a gun.
He
was talking about Yesha.
Because to be Begadish, sorry, for her?
Right. That was the question, whether it's considered a woman wearing a man's clothing or whatever. So he just says, even without the Pikuach Nefesh aspect. But
it's
at any rate,
clothing. It's not about fashion.
I don't
protection.
See that. Yeah, I don't see that being considered.
Oh wait, no. So a gun that does have a certain masculine look to it. I mean, the Navi discusses the brave warrior walking around with his sword and his what's the madim called in English? The
uniform.
Yeah, there is something proud about wearing a uniform, carrying a gun, and there's. Even today, people
but in Israel, Israel there are women soldiers, so
right?
And in the Tanakh, there were women like warriors, so to speak. Right?
Devorah,
yeah.
She wasn't a warrior,
but she still.
On the contrary, you
she
see,
did a warrior's act, right?
You see, she told Barak to lead the war. He told her, "I'll only go if you come with me." But she wasn't one who got the people united to war.
Who's the other one who cut off that dude's head?
And you see, that's the example. What did she use? She used a spoke and a hammer. She didn't use a knife. That's exactly where we learn this idea from. That we learn this idea that a woman, a modest woman, doesn't walk around with a gun in her holster, right? Now, the reason this is an issue that I do want to take time to discuss is because there's an issue specifically among Americans or chutznikim that they're very into ammo. And guns. And the truth is, every kid, when he's a kid, you know, he's shooting, he's playing cops and robbers. Right, so the Texans are notorious for it, right? But the truth is that Americans in general are very into their guns. I have an acquaintance who was in the Secret Forces here. And he told me once, you know how crazy the Americans are? You could go into Walmart, not Walgreens, Walmart, and buy yourself a box of bullets.
That's exactly what I did.
Here in Israel, you can get, I think, 50 bullets a year, and the government has control over every gun and every bullet, and if... We had a guy who was in charge of security in Kochav Yaakov, and he saw an Arab breaking into Kochav Yaakov, and then he gave chase, and he shot in the ear, and the Arab stopped, and he caught him. He didn't shoot at the Arab, he shot in the ear, and he sat in for questioning for a day and a half, and they took his weapon from him, and he went through a whole procedure. That's so here in Israel, the weapons are taken very seriously, and... the reason I think this is a point worth discussing is because I think that Americans who come here are very often very quick to get into the idea of having a weapon, especially if they live in a yeshuv, and then they can easily get a license for it. And it's not necessarily a good idea, because it's more like a toy, and it's more machismo, and it has nothing to do with the security aspect. And I discussed with a Rav once why Rabbanim don't come out and tell people to have guns. When I was in America as a Rav, before the students were shot, I went and I said to the Rosh Yeshiva, you know, I'm here every night, and there's no one here at night, and there's no guard at the front. This was before there was a guard there, right? I said, I think I already encountered twice criminals that came into the yeshiva. Thieves and the like. I think I should have a gun. And the Rosh Yeshiva said, you're right. And I went down to Mishrad HaPnim and they refused me. He said, if the yeshiva wants protection, the yeshiva should hire a guard. So I didn't have a gun, even though I was in the library, and you never know how things might have played themselves out differently. But I, even so, I once discussed with more than one Rav, why is it that we don't encourage people to have weapons? Wouldn't it be better, like someone said, if every person had a weapon? And the answer I got was that it's far more likely that people will end up forgetting their gun on the table. I once found a gun in the bathroom. I went to a public bathroom, and I found a gun. Now, it was a little revolver, and you're in the small space of a bathroom. And I had my hand on the trigger, and I said to myself, this is so early for Purim. I wonder who thought to have one. And I look at it, and I say, there's no siman here. And I had it, and I didn't even realize it was pointing towards my head. And I asked myself, if it's mine, can I shoot and hear the cap shoot? And I was a second away from pulling the trigger, and I'm telling you, it was pointed like diagonally. I don't know if it would have gone killed me. But then I said to myself, this is Israel. This might be a real gun. You know, it was a real gun. Someone had gone to the bathroom, and he put it down when he went to the bathroom, and he forgot it there. Now, he happened to travel through very dangerous territory on his way home. The gun was loaded and cocked. Had I pulled the trigger, I don't know if I'd still be here. I don't know. So now, you know, in a bathroom, it's not like I was pointing to my head. But in a bathroom, you don't have that much space when you're holding a gun. So, and I didn't think it was real. I was sure it was a cap gun.
Wait, but you touched it. It was metal and everything.
Yeah, but I didn't, you know, I don't know guns. I didn't, it didn't ring a bell
the
by
weight
me.
The didn't, like...
I didn't catch that. It was a little revolver.
What did you do with the gun?
What?
So, after what did you do?
I went to the local office, and the person really came back within an hour and collected it. I went,
Well, like, two things. One is that in America there seems to be gun phobia, not gun philia, because, yeah, you're right. Like, in the American army, people who do get guns, they're all for it. But most of the people in America, they do not understand guns. One person, because if you're afraid of it and you don't understand it, then you're going to be like, you know, when you touch it, yeah, you're going to blow somebody's brains out, because my friend... you know, posted a picture online from the army where he's like pointing a gun and like pointing a gun at the camera, right? It wasn't even loaded. People unfriended him on Facebook. They're like, I'm sorry, I feel like you're pointing the gun at me and this is too much and what do you want, revenge? And, you know, you should remember it's about love. And, you know, they unfriended him. And, you know, another thing is Detroit, New York, Washington, D.C., certain parts of Paris. I just named areas with very high rates of crime, and also very tight gun control laws. I don't think it's a coincidence. Like, in Texas, there's not as much crime. Why? Because I think that, you know, which neighborhood would you rather rob? Encino with, like, where you know, like, I can break in, no one's gonna, like, stop me, and if they stop me, I could sue them. Or am I gonna break into, like, this guy's trailer where he has, like, a shotgun, you know?
Seems like in America there's like there's already so many guns. It's like there's nothing you can do. Like if you start taking away guns, like the criminals will still have guns.
Exactly, and they'll still be able to get them. On top of that,
because I'm not discussing
the solution. I'm just saying, for us, what we have to be aware of is that you're not necessarily safer with a gun. Because I asked a top expert in guns, if you buy a gun, what are the odds that you're going to save a life with it? He said, the odds are that if you ever need it to save anyone's life, it'll happen once in your lifetime. Not more than that. Meaning for an average citizen, if it'll ever happen, then it'll happen once. So you say to yourself, and it won't save him. To save yourself, it's almost not shy of that you'll ever need a gun to save yourself. The question is, will you be at a crime scene? Will you be close enough to something that happens
in Israel?
I'm talking about in Israel.
It depends on where you live.
Okay, right. It depends on where you live. Right. I'm talking about a citizen here in Yerushalayim, a regular... I'm not talking about someone out in Yesha. That's a different question.
Or in East Jerusalem, somebody who lives in...
Right. That's a different question. So
we Merkaz HaRav on the same year before two... No, it's 3 months after we have the bulldozers.
The bulldozers
on
right.
Yafo,
and I wasn't far from that story, but I wasn't there. And then the story happened again with another bulldozer.
But because someone had a gun, they killed terrorists.
Agreed. So I asked, what are the odds? So he said, the odds are... A, that it'll happen only once, if it ever happens in your lifetime, only once, and B, that you won't be saving yourself, The question is, will you be able to save someone else?
Why won't you be
but
saving
to save
yourself?
Yourself is not, it's not so likely that, you know...
You'll probably die before you
right,
attempt to pull out.
Yeah. He said that the odds that
if
you'll...
Nobody, if nobody
it'll
knows
happen,
I don't know.
No, the odds that you'll have it, they're not waiting, you know. Like he said to me, when it happens, even the people that have guns make in their pants literally as they're pulling it out. And then they don't necessarily remember how to cock it. And they don't, they're not necessarily with the gun on them. They're not necessarily with the bullets. And so he said, yeah, theoretically, it can happen. And if it'll happen, it'll happen once in a lifetime. But you have to ask yourself, how many times will you forget that gun somewhere? And how likely is it that a child will want to find that gun and play with it and try it out? So it's a very tough question when you ask... what's right or wrong, I encourage people not to get guns. I think that most people end up playing with it, and it ends up being much more dangerous having the gun at home than... Are you leaving?
Yes.
Oh, take from the shelf. It ends up being much more dangerous having the gun at home than the odds that you'll actually save someone with it. Even if you're good 99% of the time, or 99.9% of the time, you end up coming home more than 1,000 times in a few years. And eventually, that one time is super dangerous. So I asked a friend of mine who's very careful, and he walks around with his gun loaded because he lives in East Jerusalem. And I asked him, has it ever happened to you? He said, no, my kids won't touch it. And then in another conversation, I heard from him that one time he left it on the table, and it fell, and it was loaded, and it shot. And he's lucky that no one was killed. So he lost one bullet. What?
He could have lost one child.
So he's very fortunate that he didn't lose anyone else. He lost a bullet and no one was killed. But I'm saying even this guy who says, no, my kids are super trained, they wouldn't touch it. But okay, you see, even he had a story like that. So that's why I'm very scared. I think the dangers outweigh.
Also because
for most people, again, you live in Yesha, it's a different story.
Because so many people have guns, so they're all around town. So maybe it's easier if something happens. It's easier that at least someone... more than one person as a gun. Therefore, you know, things... And also they talk about deterrence, you know. Someone, even in Machon Mir, they say, you know, the vest is enough. You know, that... maybe, yeah.
I was about to make that point that, like, you know, it's not about the times you get to use the gun, it's the fact that it's there. Like, the example I gave earlier, like, I know there's a house with a gun in it. Million Robin, like, I'm less likely to. I mean, there's a story in Chicago where, you know, these criminals, they felt so confident they could walk anywhere they wanted to. They came out to this guy, they're like, look, we need protection money. If you don't give it to us, we're going to kill you tonight. They gave him the time, and if you don't have it by then, we're going to kill you. The cops can't do anything, we paid them off, you know, you're not going to make it. He had a shotgun, and when they came to get the money from him, he shot them first. So they, you know, they were strutting around because they thought they were in a neighborhood with no guns. You know, it's a different, like... sort of setting, like it's about the deterrence, you know. So sort of.
Yeah, but yeah, at the end of the day, you got to ask yourself, how often does it happen that it saves someone? How often does it happen that it kills someone? Not to mention the fact that you have situations where a person loses his own stability. How many times here in the neighborhood, five houses from here, we have a mother who's lost her own son, and it's not clear till today whether the kid committed suicide or the kid, by mistake, was trying to clean his gun or something, and he killed himself. It's not clear. You don't find the guy dead. Not sure how it happened. But she claims that it was a mistake. So even if it's an accident, at the end of the day, you have a very lethal thing in the house. And if someone did the army here in Israel, so they have a little bit of experience about how careful to be with guns. People who didn't really do the army and doing it for 6 months doesn't count. They for sure don't know how. So I'm just saying, I think it's a point to think about and be super cautious. And that's why I recommend for most Americans who make Aliyah, in general, I say stay away from it. The danger outweighs the benefit. And again, and how many times does a person lose it completely, and then you ask yourself, is he better off having a gun or not having a gun? And lose it could be lose it at the neighbor's kid, and lose it could be lose it as his wife, and lose it could be lose it at himself.
Lose it could be lose it in the head.
Okay, so you know...
You can't compare Chicago to Jerusalem, or even Tel Aviv. Tel Aviv is bad, but you can't compare Chicago to it. Understand, there's still a big difference. between the two places. Like every night there's a robbery or a shootout in Chicago.
Sure happens in Tel Aviv every night, and people just stab you over there instead.
Also get it, man.
Yeah, I think it's wrong to think that the safety you gain is outweighs the dangers.
But we know it because everybody has a gun on Tchanamar Kazit and on a shopping mall, and I feel safe, you know. And
but how many people die here in Israel?
No, but the question
from
is
shooting accidents.
No, okay,
and how many people commit suicide?
It's true.
And how many people kill their wives? Saying
those want to kill, they will find a gun either way.
No, I don't agree. No, because very often, if you only need the time, people calm down. The problem is the heat in the moment. The problem isn't the planned out guy.
Yeah, was asking me now. Someone from Rosaris. People can kill with knives, kitchen knives, and with what's called with stones. We see every day, you know, like.
Right.
Everything's happening now in Molotov cocktails. So
and we see on the contrary that they're not succeeding with the stones and the Molotov cocktails. It's rare.
Kill, though.
It's rare that it's a fatality. Baruch Hashem, it's rare. And with guns, you see?
They hardly succeed with rockets.
I think that the safety we're assuming we'll gain is... ask yourself, how many people... What are the percentage of people who need psychological help? It's in the range of 14 to 16%.
Here,
In the world, that's the range they're talking about. They're saying that every person, if he doesn't have a sibling, he has an uncle. Meaning, think about it, 14 to 16%. So that means one in six people, seven
from
people.
From that to kill someone, occurs a great distance.
Right, but you're not going to necessarily put your finger on it. I'm saying, but if that's it's one in six people, one in seven people. Okay. And does any person know what he's going to look like on his bad day? So even if you say, I trust myself, I'll never do it. And what about your kids? Can you trust every one of your kids and your wife? And can you trust yourself when your neighbor plows into your car because he's upset at you because he thinks you're not paying Vaad Bayit? I'm saying, you know, there are situations in life where you... I have a friend who told me he didn't like the way they were setting up the Vaad Bayit. Oh no, he was Vaad Bayit, and there was a neighbor who wasn't paying. So he went up to the neighbor and said, you know, you haven't paid Vaad Bayit in 3 months. So the neighbor looks at him and says, you have to be really careful where you're standing now. So he said, what do you mean? He said, well, someone else stood there and slipped off and got really hurt. You really don't want that to happen to you, you know? This is a story here. This isn't a story from far out.
Sounds like, yeah.
I really don't want you to slip and get hurt. You understand what I'm saying?
I don't want your house to catch on fire.
Oh, there's a guy around the corner. His neighbor was making noise. And he kept asking him to be quiet. Finally, he came with the crowbar and started prying open the guy's door. The guy said, what are you doing? He said, you think I'm joking with you. I'm not joking. I'm going to pry open this door and break your head with this crowbar. You decide. You want to keep making noise or get your kids to be quiet? And the guy told me the story proudly. He said to me, you have problems with neighbors? Make sure they know you mean business. You show up with a crowbar, they're not doing it again.
Michael Deterrence.
What?
The guy with the crowbar was the one talking.
The guy with the crowbar was telling you the story. He said, don't play games. Show up the first time with the crowbar, you won't have a second time.
And if the guy with behind the door had the gun,
right.
I have a gun, now get the heck out of here before I put one between your eyes.
Oh, but what? Okay, so I'm saying.
And then he stops with the crowbar, case closed.
Why would he stop?
But ask yourself, is that right?
Is that right?
The guy with the crowbar is wrong. But is it right to put a bolt between his eyes? I'm saying he's wrong.
But
you're going to have neighbors that are crazy.
You never know what he's going to do with the crowbar.
I'm saying you're going to have neighbors that are crazy.
I'd rather have a gun to protect myself
right?
from the
maniac.
But
shouldn't you really call the police? Shouldn't you be doing something else?
In the heat of the moment, how fast do you think they're going to get there when the guy's already going at it with a crowbar? How fast do you think they're going to get there?
Keep a baseline back for guys.
I'll tell you. Ask yourself, what are the odds that you'll use it correctly? And this, I think, is misuse.
I don't think so. I think a crowbar is a deadly weapon, and you never know.
He didn't.
And especially if you have family there, I wouldn't take any chances. I don't care who it is. Someone shows up with a crowbar, I'm killing them.
I can tell you what happened at our house in Texas.
But you know, illegally in this country, you'd sit in jail for 20 years or something.
Really?
He wasn't waving it at you.
Not yet.
At the door.
Okay. He was telling
you. He's breaking in with a deadly weapon.
Okay, okay, you could call the police, you know.
But maybe call the police, and maybe police didn't do anything, and that's
did you shoot him in the leg?
Before he uses the
did
his
you
gun.
Shoot him in the leg? I'm saying they'll take you for that too, and in this case, it's true. The guy had no intention of hitting his neighbor. He told me,
We're supposed to know that.
I'm not saying he's wrong if he shoots. I'm saying he's going to pay for it with his life, sitting 20 years in jail. I'm saying
Well, what's on the Torah law on that? I want to know what the Torah says.
Okay, I'm just giving a bunch of examples. You end up dealing with difficult situations where if you didn't have a gun, you'd find another solution. And when you do have a gun, so your first instinct is, I'm not putting up with this, I'm putting a bolt between his eyes. I'm saying, I don't think that the response had to be, look at what happened here. The guy yelled and said, who's breaking in? I'm going to call the cops. And the guy said, don't call the cops, but if you keep making noise, I am going to break in and break your head. And walked away. Now, what would have happened if he had a gun? He wouldn't have said a word. He would have waited there. One,
did the guy stop
two,
the noise?
Three.
Did the guy stop the noise? After?
Of course he stopped the noise.
How many times did he... How many times did he ask his neighbor to be quiet? How many times
he claimed he tried a few things.
See, okay. I'm having the same problem every day, and the one has been doing anything.
Now you know what to do.
Huh? No, I went from being very nice to very pundit. I was very I was too harif with my tongue. Mm-hmm. That didn't help until I start to scream in order not to hit the person, because you know when people they try. You know, I tried everything for me not to start to be physical, but it seems finally that happened. Otherwise, you know, people can drive you crazy.
Was he making noise at nighttime?
No, it was something even worse.
You know what happened to me? Where some guy